Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Due to severe thunderstorms developing after 1 o'clock, storms could produce large hail, damaging winds, and very heavy rain, especially right around the 4 o'clock hour. Storms should continue to push off to the east of the turnpike as we get a little bit beyond 7 o'clock, so most of your late evening plans should be okay, but temperatures will be falling into the low 40s tonight, looking at much cooler temperatures as we head into the weekend, high of 63 for your Saturday, but eventually more the 70s heading into your Sunday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Halen Wilhite.
97.5 and 1240 KFH. Better than a halftime show. And we don't even have backup dancers.
Oh, God, I feel wicked, awful, bad, awesome, sucky. I absolutely cannot face this. Wait a minute. It's Friday. I forgot. It's Friday. It's Friday. Monkey dude.
Today is Friday.
You've waited all week. You've been waiting. Monday, you got through it. Tuesday, you got through it. Wednesday, you started to smell it. Thursday, you were right on top of it. And now it's here! It's Friday! It's time to rock and roll!
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Hey, welcome back for another hour of Sports Daily. Thanks for being here with us. We've got a lot for you. Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider, going to join us this hour. Headlines I missed, much more. Your calls and commentary, 869-1240 is the phone number. Facebook, YouTube, X for your video comments. You can email the show, sportsdaily at kfhradio.com. Thanks for listening to us on the Odyssey app. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. Everything we've got for you is on tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, where it's patio season. Have a brew with a view on Delano's rooftop deck. Enjoy happy hour on WBC East Patio, or grab a pizza outside shielded from the setting sun at WBC West. When you think patio, think Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. We're back with you here. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland. One headline before we get to the headlines I missed that I'm just seeing now, TJ. Coach Joe Auer, former Wichita Heights legendary coach, tweeting out, and it says Perry Ellis had another injury, season-ending injury. Good luck to Perry Ellis, the Wichita legend out there, who's had a couple of injuries in his pro career that have been derailing. So hopefully he's able to get back on his feet and continue to go. All right, TJ, let's get to some headlines I missed.
All right, Sports Daily fans, let's take you to the sports headlines Jacob probably didn't see.
Okay, UFL last night, Jacob. I'm literally just seeing this as I'm pulling it up.
All right.
Who are these teams? I don't even know. Do you know any UFL? You ever watched it since it came back?
I mean, there's been so many different leagues. I don't know. I've watched some of them, but I can't even remember what they were, so I couldn't tell you if I've watched UFL. No, I am not seeking out the secondary football league. I just don't... It's amazing that it's never taken off, but no.
The Louisville Kings, this is going viral, I guess, in the first quarter. They were on the goal line, and to avoid a hit, they slid before actually falling into the end zone. Like, they slid and down themselves at the one instead of going in for the touchdown. So it's a big deal. Why am I telling you this, Jacob? Quarterback for the Louisville Kings, Jason Bean.
Okay. Shout out Jason Bean, former KU great. Why players don't score? Were they trying to run the clock? Players do that all the time.
It was the first quarter, though. I don't understand. I don't really know. Oh. It's weird. I don't know all the details. I'm just telling you, Jason Bean was on national TV yesterday. Maybe he's just
can you bet the UFL? Do we need to be suspicious here? Okay.
No, yeah, right. I don't know. All right, what else we got for you? Let's go back to the Royals. Did you see that sliding catch from Kyle Isbell last night?
I did, yep.
Gosh, I can't get enough of that. That is one of the crazier plays that he's made. To like, how many times, first of all, do you make a sliding catch on the warning track? Like,
well, usually, sliding away from the field of play,
sliding horizontally. Like, right. Even still, like, I've never even seen a sliding catch on, like, usually it's like a diving catch or like a leaping catch on the warning track.
It's a good place to slide though, because you have control of slamming into the wall there.
Yep. Anyways, this Royals burner account posted the highlight and said, it's one thing to make this sliding catch while tracking a deep fly ball knowing you're running out of room. It's a whole other thing to make that catch while out of the corner of your eye you see an NFL edge rusher barreling towards you like Jack Caglione was.
I said this yesterday. I don't think people have a real good grasp of how big Jack Caglione is.
He's ginormous.
Jack Caglione is 6'4", 250.
He wears size 17 cleats.
He is enormous. Arvell Reese, who is about to be, as a defensive lineman in the NFL, a top three pick in this draft, is 6'4", 240. I'll say that again. Jack Caglione's 6'4", 250. Your edge rusher comp is correct. He is as big as an NFL defensive lineman.
That's so crazy.
Right field. He's huge.
That's pretty insane. It's nuts.
Well, by the way, we see this too. We see pitchers like these 6'7", 6'8". I always look at that and think about them growing up. And parents are like, you know what? Jack Caglione, you're going to be a baseball player. Or, you know, instead of a power forward, you're going to be a starting
I think Cags probably was in a spot in middle school where he had to look at himself and be like, yeah, I could probably play whatever I want to play.
Well, right. And he probably swung a bat and the ball, you know, went 400 feet. And he was like, yeah, maybe I should do that.
He just got the hit of dopamine from a baseball bat rather than a football helmet, basically.
Or just realized he can do it. I mean,
he could have made $1 million as a college small forward, probably.
Like, I don't want to take anything away from it, but I hitting a baseball still. You've either got it or you don't.
Yeah.
Like we see basketball players trained late. We see all these things, but to be able to hit a curveball, have you ever?
He's playing well.
I know you have, but for those that like, have you ever tried to swing at a curveball? Mm-hmm. Like, good luck to watch these guys with wooden bats hit those 400 feet is a skill set not very many people have.
Gosh, he's playing well too. He had another outfield assist yesterday too. He's playing well. All right, let's keep going. Speaking of size 17 cleats, let's go to some other cleats stories. This one came out overnight. Jackson Smith and Jigba wore a size 12 at Ohio State. I don't know who had this, but it's on social media. He wore a size 12 at Ohio State and had hamstring issues. Remember all the injury talk about Jackson Smith and Jigba? When he got to Seattle, they used a full body scan to customize gear for each player. Now he wears a 10.5, and the problems went away.
10.5?
He went down a size and a half cleat.
I wear... That size or bigger shoe, that surprises me. How tall is Jackson Smith and Jigba?
I mean, I don't know.
He's got to be 6 foot tall. Or taller, probably. I would think.
Probably. What size shoe do you wear, Jacob? You probably wear like 11.
Oh, he is 6 foot tall. He's 6 foot tall.
I bet Jacob wears an 11.
Yeah, it depends on the brand. But yeah, somewhere between some are 10, some are 10 and a half, some are up to an 11 and a half. Just kind of depends.
Or 14s, man. yeah, I know. You're telling me. I'm the kind of guy, you don't walk into Dick's and walk out with a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
You walk into Dick's and say, yeah, can I order those?
I'm in the section that is the most picked over.
Yeah, Jacob's picking in the kids section.
It's the most common size. There's nothing left ever. It's like I wear mediums which are never left, and the shoe size that's never left. I'm the most average sized American, I think, that there is.
No. Okay, back to baseball. The Bowling Green Hot Rods last night. I think this is...
That's a good one. I have not
single
heard
of it. Single A, High A. High A, yeah, that's a good team name. High A for the Rays. They took a lead last night over... I'm not even going to try to tell you who that team is. I have no idea. I'm not even going to try. The Drive, something Drive. It was 7-7 in the top of the eighth, and they had their backup catcher pitching. And he hit a home run off of him for a go-ahead home run. And everybody was like, what am I missing? Like, there's not a single pitcher that can pitch in that scenario. Like,
in
not
IA,
one.
They're probably being pretty careful. I mean, you're on strict limits and all of those things. Speaking of minor league baseball, I'm going to the Chili Buns game tonight. Can't wait.
Hope it happens.
It'll happen. Our rain, unless something changed overnight, our rain's happening early, and then it'll be out of here. So,
speaking of headlines, I saw our people at KCTV5 reported that tonight's storm could bring potato-sized hailstones.
Oh, man.
Potato.
I do too. It looked like, and I'll check it this morning. It looked like we were kind of on the very beginning of it, and then it's east. So we're still in the possibility, I think, of catching only a little bit of it, and then maybe it moves on. We're fringy. Wichita's going to be fringy.
We are in the bubble for sure.
We are in the bubble.
We're in whatever the red color or the orange color.
No,
on the
it's not red. Showing. It's not red today. It's not. It's three out of five. It's not red. It's not purple. It's orange, but it can be hail. Hail. Yes, I've got a headline for you, TJ. Before we go, you're gonna like this. This is Josh Norris, who is at underdog. He had Dane Brugler on, who is the Athletics draft guy. He said Jordan Tyson's working out for teams today, only running routes, no athletic testing. According to Brugler, if it goes flawlessly, he could be drafted much earlier than where a lot of mocks currently slot him to what we were just talking about. If there's not a tag with an injury on him, there are people that think he's better than Carnell Tate. We love him. I've said it before. I don't trust my side-by-side because we watch so much more Big 12 football. There you go. He can move up. And if he moves up, who moves down? Think about those things. Carnell Tate, maybe. But that just was a part of a podcast there. Anything else?
Let's just go with football. I got one that I'll save for later because we'll talk some portal talk, I'd have to imagine, later in the show.
Yes.
This is from Rob DeMello, of the sports director at Kahan. You know where Kahan is?
Do not.
Honolulu.
Oh, nice.
Aloha Stadium is undergoing renovation. They just tore out like the upper bowl of the start of the section. This video is pretty crazy. They did some major demolition. They're opening a 31,000 seat venue in the spring of 29. So
it's not you. That's not renovation. That's demolition.
I think it's renovation, but I think that it's like kind of like what Penn State's doing, where they had to like take out the press box so they could build up from there. I think it's the same stadium. They're just adding seats to it, if I had to guess. They're probably renovating the upper or demolition of the upper bowl and then renovating the whole thing.
Got it. Well,
you ever been there? Never been to Aloha Stadium.
I need to go. I didn't go inside, but we drove by it. Yeah,
I need to go.
I still don't understand why every great athlete doesn't go to Hawaii. All right, we're coming right back.
This is Sports Radio.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. Main roads are looking good. Expect normal travel times. But there is construction on I-135 northbound at the ramp to Kellogg West. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather.
From Frontine 12's, a warm, muggy, and breezy morning with wake-up temperatures in the 60s, but later today, high of 82 with those partly cloudy skies, windy conditions from the south, but we have to be on guard for those strong to severe thunderstorms developing. After 1 o'clock, storms could produce large hail, damaging winds, and very heavy rain, especially right around the 4 o'clock hour. Storms should continue to push off to the east of the turnpike as we get a little bit beyond 7 o'clock, so most of your late evening plans should be okay, but temperatures will be falling into the low 40s tonight, looking at much cooler temperatures as we head into the weekend, high of
63 for your Saturday, but eventually more the 70s heading into your Sunday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Halen Wilhelm.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
Chiefs General Manager Brett Veach said he's expecting a lot of trades next week during the NFL draft in round number one. Man, I hope so. I love chaos, and I want as much chaos as we can possibly get. It feels like there is a lot of unknown after the number one overall pick, which means this could be a great year for some chaos. But at the same time, a GM publicly saying this means that we probably shouldn't be getting our hopes up, and it might be a boring round one. I'm Dead Man.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
They're in my ears.
They're in my head.
They're in my veins.
They're in my pocket.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Download the Odyssey app and listen anywhere.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, we welcome you back in here to Sports Daily. We are joined by Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider, KC Star, at Jalen Thompson on X. Jalen, last week you told us to R-E-L-A-X. Are you R-E-L-A-X-ing right now about the way the Royals have played over the last week since you told us that?
Are you worried? I'm relaxing. I don't know what the Royals are.
We're not, Jalen. We're overreacting every day. Now, I feel less bad, honestly, about yesterday. Yesterday was annoying, but less bad because they actually scored some runs. But I'm telling you, man, I'm worried about this offense. We've seen this now for a year and a half.
Yeah, you've seen the offense, you know, have a slow April. But I always tell people they had a slow April in 2024 and they made the playoffs. It didn't look as bad as it looked now, but I mean, you knew this was a possibility when you looked at the schedule this offseason. You looked at it, you saw, playoff team, right?
And you're White like, Sox and Twins, though. That I mean, they went 4-3 against the White Sox and Twins.
And that's the reason why it looks as bad as it does now, because those wins that you had last year. Well, against the White Sox, you only lost them one time. Well, you lost them twice this year already. And then the Twins, they're playing surprisingly well. They lead the American League Central right now. So it's just it's the game. It's baseball. You can never predict it. I think that the Royals need to win at least two games here in New York to feel good about themselves. But that doesn't seem like that's going to happen because they lost six straight last year. And they haven't won a series here in New York in forever.
It feels daunting for them to score two runs in New York this weekend, Jalen. That's the part where they're at right now. To the start that they've had, like, I understand, like, and you're going to yell at me because it's April, but like, they're the second worst team in baseball right now, Jalen. Like, they're in a hole. It's not too deep of a hole, but it you know, it's officially like you have to dig out of the hole time a little bit.
I would never yell at you, TJ. I would never do that. But I will tell you this, you're absolutely right. They are the worst team in baseball right now. One of the worst teams. So they have to do better, because if they don't, then they're going to have a huge hill to climb. Remember last year, the Atlanta Braves got off to a terrible start and it kind of defined their season. The Royals can't let that happen for them this year, because if they do, then that's going to be a major disappointment for what they built in this team.
Okay, here's the reason for my concern. Because we've seen this before. It would be different if this was an offense coming in that we were dead certain is going to be great this year. It's not that, and we can't think that responsibly because it hasn't been that. It wasn't that last year. We had these same conversations. So to see it come out slow makes it harder, I think, to just say, but they'll get it together. I want to say that because on paper, you can't really figure out why it struggles ever. But we kept saying that and kept saying that and kept saying that even through an 18 game win streak or whatever it was last year. It was kind of the same thing. They're still not scoring any runs. So that's where I think the concern comes in, is we've seen this before. And I that's like, we're counting on a lot for an aging Salvi Like they're just a little bit there. And my Quatraro, who will not make a change in the middle of the lineup. Now, both those guys were good yesterday. Maybe that takes the lid off. I hope it does. But why is it that a guy who will do a million different things with the bullpen, do a million different things with 5 through 9 in a lineup, not break those two up when they're struggling like this?
It's the same thing he does with John Schreiber. He that's his guy. He loves John Schreiber. He believes in John Schreiber. He uses him in those spots. And we saw it yesterday. He gave up a home run as soon as he came in the game, right? It didn't hurt the Royals that happened because they came back in that 7th inning. But like you said, with Vinny and Salvi, if you move them out of their customary spots, who do you put in their roles? I think that's the question that you got to ask yourself. Do you really think Jack Caglione is ready to hold down a 3?
We can't even get Jack Caglione in the lineup every day, Jalen. So yes, that's another thing.
I agree. I do think that maybe it's time to allow Jack to face certain left-handers. I think that would be important. But really, if you look at this team right now, the big looming shadow of the offseason was, did they do enough? Did they do enough to get better? And you look at their moves, Lane Thomas hasn't done nothing. Isaac Collins really hasn't done nothing. Nice player, but he hasn't done anything to really take the team to the next level, right? And he's hurt right now. But maybe he gets back in the lineup this weekend. Yeah, those are your two offseason moves. Nick Mears was a guy in the bullpen. He hasn't really done anything of significance, and he's kind of fallen off a little bit. So where was the upgrade? Where was the moves? You were counting on Carter Jensen and Jack Caglione, and I think they have shown that they are going to be the guys that you think they're going to be. But everyone else you brought in this year hasn't done it. And Benny and Salvi are another year older. So Father Time is always undefeated.
It's true. Jalen, the point you bring up there, we'll use Schreiber as the example here, but you're right. Like, he is loyal to his guys that he wants to be loyal to a fault, to a point to where John Schreiber comes in and gives up a home run on a third pitch that he throws. Like, at what point does that have to, shift? I mean, does it have to be a deep hole? Like, when do you think that would be something if this does continue? If the offense continues to struggle scoring runs, like, at what point does it have to be to say, like, all right, like, Carter Jensen, bat 3-hole. Like, let's try something.
I think if they come and they get shellacked in New York, which I really think is possible, they got to change something, because you cannot come home 0-6 and 7-15 and play the Baltimore Orioles in front of your fan base, and somebody's got to face the music, right? I said it yesterday. And I know there's not really must wins in April, but yesterday's game was pretty much a must win. You had to win that game.
I agree.
To at least get some momentum going into New York. Now you're finna play against Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton in that lineup, who they lost some games to the Angels, but they hit home runs. The Royals can't have a home run derby with the Yankees right now. This is not gonna happen. So unless the pitching staff, which always struggles against the Yankees, the starters, they're great, but when they play the Yankees can hit them, it could get real ugly this weekend.
Waka Cameron Reagans, righty, lefty, lefty, that band box. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I want to ask you, though, before we talk starting pitching, I want to ask you about Ursig. He has been like nails in 6 appearances and pretty bad in 2. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Royals would like it to be 1 out of every 4 appearances he looks good. Is there any concern there for him, or is everything fine with him?
I don't think there's any concern with Lucas Irsay.
Okay.
Yesterday, and I'll say this because I talked to him after the game, and he was very honest. He said, "I feel bad that I gave up this game because the offense hasn't been performing the way it has been performing, and I kind of just gave it up." He said things were turning around, and then he messed it up, right? That I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. It took a lot for him to say that, because he didn't have to. He could have been very much, "I don't want to talk about it. It is what it is. It happened." No, he took ownership of it. And I don't think it'll happen as much as people think it is. He's a great guy to have in that ninth inning. Yesterday, they hit him. And you can kind of tell when that game was going on, so many things happened in that game. Why wouldn't the walk-off be the thing that kind of ends it? You had two rain delays. Umpire goes out middle of the game. They had to go to three umpires. I mean, home runs from Salvi and Vinny, and you know, it was a mess. That was just a weird game yesterday. So I think it's an aberration. I think it'll be fine. If they have a lead and they go to him again tonight, I think he'll get the job done, because that's just how Lucas Erceg is wired.
Jalen, as they're going through all this stuff, obviously baseball is such a mental sport. Like, that's the part to me that is the most, you know, worrisome, makes me the most worrisome, I feel like, is that, like, one loss turns into two pretty easily. And baseball, probably more than every other sport that there is, professionally speaking. Like, you lose three in a row like they just did, four in a row, I guess is what they're at now. Like, going into New York, like, you know, you don't feel good. Like, that's why everybody talks about, like, getting a win on the day you leave to go to your next one, how big of a deal those are. Like, how much can this stuff compound, and how much is it affecting the Royals, you think?
I asked that same question to them, TJ, and they said, we just got to keep fighting. We got to come together and, you know, focus on this series tonight in New York. I just feel like they have to get a win. They have to. Getting a win in New York, even if it's one, it's just momentum to go back home. And at least you got to win against a team that's going to be in the playoffs in the New York Yankees. Because right now, you're not too far out of the Central, because the Central is a mess. But the further you go back, if you don't get a win or two this weekend, you could be looking at being 5.5, 6.5 back already in your own division. And it's not, like I said, it's not a crazy thing to overcome, but it's how you start off. If you got to play catch up so early, that's a problem. That's going to make it harder. Because now the pressure is just going to keep compounding and compounding and compounding. So I really think it would behoove them to win one game, and maybe I say two. I say take the series. And I think if they take the series, you can feel good. Then you'll be at 9 wins. You come back home, what's that? Would that be 9-13? I think that might be, he's not great, but you can live with that.
Over or under 12 runs the Royals score in this series?
Oh, under.
That's 4 runs a game.
Yeah.
That takes me into what I was going to ask you. Yesterday, when you see Salvi and Vinny and really all the big bats had good at bats all game, can it be that quick? Do you need to see more? Because they are walking into a bandbox. Like, if you know, this would be a good time for the offense to wake up. I know that Schlittler's been a good story, Will Warren's been a fine story, but are you walking into a series at a hitter's park and afraid of Schlittler, Will Warren, and Ryan Weathers, or is it an opportunity for the offense?
Well, Schlittler has 30 strikeouts this year, right?
And he's struck out a lot of guys. The Royals they shouldn't be, when they're going right, they shouldn't be a strikeout team. But
I think, like you said, under 12 runs. Before yesterday's game, they only had two in two games.
I know.
Against the Tigers. And then they come out and they score 9. So that would put them at 11. Being in Yankee Stadium and just knowing how they play is possible, but where's the offense coming from?
It's got to come from the middle. And they have been epically bad in the middle, which is to the earlier conversation. Why not put somebody else in there for a minute? But those guys both had big hits yesterday. We have seen how Vinny's not. Do we call Vinny streaky? I know he started slow, but then he usually is pretty steady Eddie. Yeah. Salvi is as streaky as it gets, though.
Yeah, and I mean, I've seen Salvi swinging some balls where I was like, why are you swinging at that, right?
Salvi hit that home run off his knee yesterday. Like, when Salvi gets cooking, like, he'll hit anything out of the yard. So, was yesterday enough to say maybe they finally woke up, or was it just one game and you don't, I mean?
Well, they said they want to put it together. They need to play a complete game where everyone is clicking on the same wavelength, right? Put it together. That was the sentiment. We gotta put a finish a game together. I don't know if that starts in New York though. Maybe if Lightning strikes twice, yes, but that's been a house of horrors for them. And yeah. I just don't see it. I'm just being honest. The way this team is playing and going to Yankee Stadium, just that environment, they don't play well there. Maybe this team is different, you know? Maybe they will take 2 out of 3, but that's going to be tough. That's why I really thought, like, getting a win or two in Detroit, that saves you, because this is going to be hard this weekend.
Jill, and I'm going to ask you one that's going to make you ponder for a second. Everybody's kind of wrestling with this question. Whenever you have the record that you have and you're the second worst team in baseball, you know, again, it's April. Don't punch me here. But everybody wants to know, why aren't they winning the games? And there's the big crux, especially on social media, is this the player's fault, or is this the coach's fault? Or is it just the game of baseball? But, like, at some point, whenever bad things have happened, so bad luck has happened multiple games in a row, it becomes more of a trend than just bad luck. So what can change?
I mean, everyone will say it's the coach's fault. Well, it's the hitting coach's fault. It's this guy's fault. But they're not out there playing the game. When it really comes down to it, the players have to play better. They have to stand up and say, we're gonna be better. We're going to play better. A lot of these games that they lost, it was one-run game. So it's not like – when you look at that 7-12 mark, it's not because, well – they don't know what they're doing or they're struggling. They've been in these games. It's just one or two mistakes that has cost them. The bullpen has cost them about 3 or 4 of those games, to be honest with you. If you had a better bullpen performance, then you might be looking at 10 and 8 right now, or whatever the number might be, right? But you're not there. So the question is, can the bullpen be better? And can these guys come together as a team? I think it's a perfect opportunity for them to say, this ends now. We're going to beat the Yankees. We're going to go back home. We're going to get our 2026 season off right. The question is, they got to do it, though.
I'll ask this. This is kind of the pushback to that, because I agree with you. The people that say that they need to fire the hitting coach, it's like, what are they going to change with the new hitting coach? Like, hey, guys, maybe you guys should try hitting with runners in scoring position. Like, obviously, there's nothing you can change. It's just kind of a string of underperforming and bad luck a little bit. But the pushback is that these guys that we see in this offense just absolutely dominated the World Baseball Classic. Like, what happened to where like Vinny looked like a all world player? Like, Cags had all world power. Michael Garcia was the MVP, like, and he's playing pretty well, but like, all these guys, when you watch the World Baseball Classic, you're like, the Royals are going to win the World Series. Like, they're the best team in baseball. And now it translates to this. Like, what happened?
You know what I'm thinking is, and I said this before, and I believe that it kind of is the same idea. They were away from the Royals for so long. The Royals did not have a chance to come together and be that cohesive unit like other teams probably had, because all their stars were gone. All their stars were gone until the very end of the World Baseball Classic. So, yes, they know each other. Yes, they are teammates. Yes, they have that chemistry. But you go through wars in spring training where you play every day and you work off those slumps, and you see different pitch types, and you see everything to get ready, those at-bats. In the World Baseball Classic, you might have three, four at-bats, and then you don't play for a day. Or you might not be in the lineup the next day, and then you playing again. And then maybe that is why. You get up for those games, but a regular season game in April is not the same as a World Baseball Classic game where everything's on the line. And I think that might be the issue, right?
Jalen.
Jalen, are you in New York right now? Where are you?
I'm in New York right now.
Oh, man.
You made it.
Go get some pizza. Max is going to be, and he's going to tell you to go get some John's Pizza. Jalen, follow along at KC Star. We appreciate it. At Jalen Thompson on X. I think I'm a little calmer since we talked, Jalen. I appreciate your steady Eddie.
Thank you guys so much. See you guys.
I'm losing it.
Yeah, don't lose it. Don't lose it. We'll talk next week. They'll get it done.
All right. Thanks, Jalen.
All right. We'll see you guys.
This is Sports Radio KFH. Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. And this podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. No major incidents, but watch for roadwork on I-135 in both directions near K-96. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather.
From 1712's a warm, muggy, and breezy morning with wake-up temperatures in the 60s, but later today, high of 82 with those partly cloudy skies, windy conditions from the south, but we have to be on guard for those strong to severe thunderstorms developing. After 1 o'clock, storms could produce large hail, damaging winds, and very heavy rain, especially right around the 4 o'clock hour. Storms should continue to push off to the east of the turnpike as we get a little bit beyond 7 o'clock, so most of your late evening plans should be okay, but temperatures will be falling into the low 40s tonight, looking at much cooler temperatures as we head into the weekend, high of 63 for your Saturday, but eventually more the 70s heading into your Sunday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Halen Wilhite.
Basically, get out of the way.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick.
Yeah! Fernando Mendoza skipping the draft. Boy, I'd love to know what those conversations were like or how long those conversations lasted between Mendoza representatives and the NFL, because we're getting really close to the draft. And you don't have the shiny object, the one shiny object there that you want, and that is Fernando Mendoza. I would say 95% are going to show up at the draft if they're the number one overall pick.
53% would go to the draft.
What?
Yes, 53% would go to the draft. That means, 47 would stay home.
I think my family would survive if I wasn't there to celebrate with them. I can bring them with me and they can sit in the green room. They're not going to have to wait long before my name is called.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes and you.
Middays from 11 until 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I love listening to play-by-play games on KFH radio.
Dude, you got to hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care, celebrating 60 years in Wichita, providing expert lawn care for a healthy lawn, tree and shrub care, bed and weed control since 1966. Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Let's do another contest here, TJ. You can win a free cup of tea from HTO right now. All you have to do is text the keyword tea to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. That'll get you a free cup of any tea. Try the all-new Sweet Paloma. And Wichita fans, East Wichita, West Wichita, getting into the East Side-West Side rivalry, each location will have their own themed new drink starting tomorrow with a really cool new sticker to go with them. The East Side, the West Side, check them out tomorrow. Stickers will only last a little while. Good luck in the contest, everybody. TJ, we come back. I assume we've got to hit some portal news here. Yes?
Portal news. We got some big ones. We got kind of big ones away from our locals, but still big ones all the same.
All right. So let's hit the trade portal update.
Okay. This is one that I saved, which is a pretty stupid one. This one definitely could have been filed in headlines Jacob missed because it's kind of just silly, but it's got a local tie. So we're going to say it. Got Rockies it. Passmore. Remember him?
Yes.
Former Jayhawk was yes. I believe he was a McDonald's All-American.
I think that's right.
Something like that. He was a big-time freshman coming in on that. First year of Dickinson, I believe he was on that team. Him and El Marco and Jamari were all in the same class. I might be wrong about that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think they were the same class. But
maybe he was a year after them. Anyways, Rockies Passmore went to Maryland. And he was the year after. Yeah, definitely. He was on the Diggy Coy team, I believe. Rockies Passmore, Maryland. Went into the portal. This report came out that he has entered the transfer portal. That's from Matt Zenitz 23 hours ago, basically. And then it was followed up by Travis Branham, who said, well, hold on. He tweeted that. Then Rockies Passmore himself tweeted, I am not in the portal. And then this report came out that says, Maryland guard Rockies Passmore from Travis Branham. Maryland guard Rockies Passmore is currently in the transfer portal, but does not intend to transfer. fully intends to be a Maryland Terrapin next season.
Okay.
What?
I mean, it's what essentially what we got out of Florey Badunga. Look, this is the Will Howard situation. I'm going to go into the portal to put the pressure on. Are you guys going to pay me or not? And he's probably saying it doesn't even have to be that much, but you got to pay me something, right? I think that it's you're holding out for a raise. You want to stay. They know you want to stay, but you're not going to stay for free. I don't have any problem with that. I think it's fine. Clearly, you want to stay. Maryland wants to keep him. Just give him something, you know? What are you going to do? Because what you got to remember, too, TJ, guys lose their jobs all the time.
It's true. It definitely feels like it's probably a situation to, you know, I don't know. Maybe he wants to make sure. Maybe it's a Paul Mbia situation, except he's actually in the portal. Speaking of Paul Mbia, did you see that report yesterday about him?
I did. You showed me.
His agent spoke with Henry Greenstein, a good KU beat reporter, and said that Paul is 100% all about the Jayhawks. We currently, though, are just trying to make sure he is fairly compensated and gets the best deal possible. And it's like,
have a problem with that.
But like, if the player wants to be there, then why is he not just going there?
That, what that doesn't mean, though, and this is why you hire agents, or this is why your parents would hire an agent. Just because he wants to be there doesn't mean KU gets him for nothing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He's in a position of strength, right? They lost Tiller. They lost Badunga. He's the obvious guy. He likes it there. I assume they like him. But I'm not playing for free, guys, so just let's make something happen here. This is why if you were a parent of a kid like that, you'd want an agent in the room. Like, would you go get him some money, please? Like, why else are we hiring you? Why else are you here? Why else are we paying you?
I wonder. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it is.
It's the Will Howard situation, right? Like, Will Howard's bitter now because K-State didn't pay him, and they paid Avery Johnson. So what's Mbia supposed to do? Return for nothing while they go sign somebody out of the portal for $2 million? No, that's not fair to him either. I agree. A problem with it.
I agree. He needs to be paid, but I wonder what the numbers are that are being thrown around. Because, like, as you read that, my mind immediately goes to, like, it's a Florey situation where it's like his agents are trying to put the screws to KU. But it could also be to give them the credit. Maybe it is
something. Imagine he was highly compensated last year. I think this year, when you look at the market and you look at the rankings, and we've had this discussion before, Rock, that's who K-State just signed.
Mm-hmm.
If you're telling me I can have Rock or Paul Mbia, I think I'm taking Mbia. If you're telling me I could have, I'm trying to look at this list of guys we actually know. I Mustafa Thom. You taking Mustafa Thom over Paul Mbia?
I mean,
probably. Which one would you take? They're both going to Thom's going into Thom. His junior year, and Bia's going into his sophomore year. Thom was 12-8 last year. Or sorry, 12 about 13-7, I should say.
Yeah, I would say I'd probably take Thom, honestly.
I don't think I would. I think I'd take Mbia.
Mbia still feels like a raw prospect. I think in 2 years, though, if Mbia continues going up, he's going to be awesome.
What did hang tight, because let me go back and look at what Thom did his freshman year.
Yeah.
He was 10 points and 6 rebounds.
Where did he even play?
He was at UCF. Again, probably a bigger opportunity. And Bia never has had the opportunity. We saw him start to get an opportunity late in the year. I liked what I saw. I thought he profiled as a Bill Self center, a lob crazy rim protector defensively. So, like, if you're in Bia and you're seeing what these other guys are going for, and I can guarantee if I'm in Mbia's camp, I'm like, listen, we're as good as Mustafa Thom. We're going to get an opportunity next year. Maybe we're not commanding that you pay us like a guy like him who's had a productive year or two, but we're every bit as good as he is. Let's do something here. I have no problem with that from his side. And from KU's side, make it happen, because I would take him over. Thom's probably the cutoff it's Badunga, Jop, and then Thom. And then you're getting into a group of guys I for sure would not take over Paul and Bia.
All right, to the main headline here. Let's keep going.
What do you think Bonk? What did we find out his name was? We've been mispronouncing his name. What do you think Bonk's going to get paid?
I know.
Would you rather have him Bia or Bonk?
I'd rather have him Bia than Bonk.
So there you go.
Like, I agree.
Like, at some point, he's worth something, and he probably made very little last year. So for him to tell everybody, like, I want to be at KU, because he should want to be at KU, the opportunity is tremendous, but not for free.
Yeah.
In today's climate, there's no issue with it. KU's got to just figure out a way to pay him a little bit.
It's true. All right. To the main headline of the day yesterday, though, Bryson Tiller is going to Mizzou. And everybody's losing their minds about it.
I love it so much.
I think it's from an objective standpoint. If you've got KU, you know, as a KU fan, it sucks to see a KU player go to Mizzou.
It does. I love it.
But I think even as a KU fan, there's part of this too where it's like, man, by the end of his career at KU, you guys are bad mouthing Bryson Tiller. Like, if I'm Bryson Tiller, like, I don't even care. And everybody's like, money means there's no loyalty anymore. I'm like, he probably would have left for free. He didn't like being there at the end of the year, it looked like. And KU didn't like him. Yeah. Like,
and in the beginning of the year, Bill Self talked about him. I'll never forget the quote. He was like, we're talking about all these freshmen in the conference. And he was like, and I get why, but nobody's even talking about Bryson Tiller. Bryson Tiller's a freshman. He's going to be great. Yeah. Like, I love it. Y'all, if you listen to Dan Patrick after us, Jim Rome after that, they both say the same thing. They've always said it, and I always believe it. They just root for the best stories. Like, they don't, we root more than, because we're local. Like, I root for our local teams, but I still root for a story. It's why Dylan Edwards to KU is just like the best thing ever.
Exactly. And I think, like,
Bryson Tiller to Mizzou is awesome because it creates this villain that's going to be so much fun.
I think even Dylan Edwards, back to that situation, everybody's talking about, like, it's like, wow, like, nobody cares. They're just going to chase the buck, and they paid him the most money. It's like, man, if you're Dylan Edwards, who got ran out of town by K-State, like, absolutely, sign me up. I want to play for their rivals. I want to go beat those guys. Like, yeah, I think that part is awesome.
It is awesome.
That part's really cool. The other story here, of part of it here, Jacob, that people are losing their minds about is that, which, you know, maybe granted to lose their minds about this, but Filori Vadunga posted on his TikTok story. TikTok has stories, by the way.
Okay.
I don't know. Whatever. I'm not well-versed in the TikTok.
They're all the same.
I know.
They
I
really don't. Are. Twitter's anyway, the only one that's different.
Yeah. Filori Vadunga posted some... I don't even know what this is. Some account made a TikTok basically calling Filori and Bryson Tiller snitches and rats. Because I don't understand that, but people are, you know, taking a dump on Florian and Bryson for leaving to go, you know, go get bags and go to the rival and all that stuff. And people are like being revisionist, and now they hate him. And not revisionist. I mean, I think that they loved him, and now they hate him, and they think it's a heel turn type of situation.
Makes it better.
Anyways, Filori Vadunga shared the TikTok and put on there and said, at least I ain't no rat at Bryson Tiller, like joking around about, like, man, they hate us, don't they? And now KU fans are saying, like, you know how bad it sucks that Melvin Council loved KU and gave his heart to KU, and he was playing with two guys that now have just left for bags and for the rivals that are now joking about it and joking about, and it's like, listen, I think that both things can be true here. I think that they can love playing for KU and then just, you know.
Yes, I need to. That. I am, like, again, put yourself, we think about this stuff like if we were, you know, 30-year-olds making these decisions. Put yourself in that spot. You're 18, 19, 20. Just think of yourself if you went to college and how much you did not comprehend consequence, but just absolutely did not care. Like, I'll eat fast food every day because I can. Don't care about, like, don't care. Where am I sleeping? I'll find a bed to, like, don't care. That's what we're, these are the guys making these kinds of decisions. And now they have social media. That's the one thing I didn't really have in college. Now they have social media to talk all that trash. I'm like, no. God, like, I
the,
cannot.
The bigger conversation here, Jacob, is like, are they villains now? Are they embracing? Yes. Should KU fans consider these two villains?
100% yes. Absolutely. Yes. Colby Rogers going to Memphis should have made him a villain to Shocker fans. Yeah, that's not a knock or anything against any of those players. But as a fan, it makes it better. It makes the experience better to have villains. So if you're just going to be, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. If it's just sitting there staring at you, Bryson Tiller just went to Mizzou. Well, yes, he should be a villain. That in every way, not anything against him, but we were just gifted a story that if they played each other, will make that much more enjoyable an experience to spend a couple hours with. Mm-hmm. Of course you should lean into
this,
that.
This to me, like, and I don't know, I said this yesterday to you, I was texting you, is that there's a difference between Bryson Tiller going to Mizzou, like, that to me is like, oh boy, like you're going to poke that bear. Like that's bold of you, Bryson Tiller. What if KJ Adams did it his senior year? Then it's like, all right, the transfer portal sucks. This is stupid.
No, I mean, it is what it is. He's choosing to be a villain. Kevin McCullough transferred from Texas Tech to Kansas. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Like, I think the people, I think that there's an argument to be had about like people, because this started like this last year, people made a really big deal that there was a football player that transferred from like OU to Texas or Texas to OU or one way or another. And everybody lost their minds. Like, what is loyalty? There's no loyalty anymore. And I'm like, man, if you're transferring, that means you don't want to be there. Like, this is not, it's one thing. I'll say this. It's one thing if Dennis Gates was like making calls and poached Bryson Tiller from KU, then that's one thing. If you're transferring and in the transfer portal, you don't want to be there anyways.
Just I don't go know where you want to go. And I think sometimes TJ, it can be even simpler. Let's take Texas OU for an example. You were probably heavily recruited by both of those coaching staffs at one point. You have a relationship with them.
Bryson Tiller did.
It could be not even personal, but like, I just really like those coaches over there. But that doesn't mean, though, that the fans shouldn't lean in and take every ounce of offense to it. They should.
This is my point, is that Bryson Tiller wasn't coming back to KU. Right. Like, I don't think that people should be heartbroken about it. Like, he was going to go somewhere. This is the best case scenario.
Yeah, this is awesome. It's so much more fun. All right, we'll come back. We got just a little more Sports Daily for you. Stick around.
Kansas Fan Headquarters, 97.5 and 1240 KFH Wichita, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, and Odyssey Sports Station.
You know that big bargain detergent jug is 80% water, right? It doesn't clean as well.
80% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Oh, let me make an announcement.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Stop paying for watered-down detergents. Pay for clean. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Pods. Water content based on the leading bargain liquid detergent.
Everything you knew about reaching customers online is being rewritten. Time to rethink your approach. Outcomes from Viant finds real customers. Not impressions, not clicks, customers. Our AI maximizes every dollar of your budget against the outcomes that matter most and proves it happened. It's smarter advertising made simple. Visit Viant.ai.
Breaking news for your home, Wayday. Wayfair's big sale is almost here, and you can score the best deals in home, like up to 80% off everything home. Yes, you heard that right. 80% off with free shipping on everything. Plus surprise flash deals all way day long. We're talking outdoor furniture and essentials, rugs and more. All at Wayfair. And all up to 80% off during Wayday. Shop Wayfair's Wayday from April 25th through 27th.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
In digital advertising, everyone talks about clicks. But clicks don't pay the bills. Sales do. Outcomes from Viant is a new way to advertise that prioritizes your bottom line. Our AI-driven technology looks past the noise to find the customers most likely to buy your product. It's smarter, faster, and designed for real-world results. It's smarter advertising made simple. Visit Viant.ai.
Attention, have you racked up $10,000 or more in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by making minimum payments? With credit card debt reaching all-time highs, National Debt Relief is notifying consumers about significant debt relief options currently being made available to help those with overwhelming credit card debt. These options may reduce a large portion of credit card debt for those who qualify. You don't need to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan, and you may only have to pay back a fraction of what you owe, even if you have bad credit. National Debt Relief has already reduced the credit card debt for more than 550,000 consumers, so don't wait. If you owe $10,000, $20,000, or even $100,000 in credit card debt, you can now take advantage of this financial debt relief as the cost of living continues to skyrocket. To check what debt reduction you may qualify for, call 800-894-7722. That's 800-894-7722. Again, 800-894-7722.
Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM using bonus code KOSTOS, K-O-S-T-O-S, and you could receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Get into hockey, basketball, and more of your favorite sports with same-game parlays, live betting, and more. Earn BetMGM rewards points on every bet, take advantage of offers found nowhere, and keep an eye out for rewards dropping in your account throughout the year. Sign up with bonus code KOSTOS, K-O-S-T-O-S, and you could receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Gambling problem?
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.